Do you consider yourself to be a generous person? And why? Is it because you easily give money to those who need it? Or because you easily forgive others? Or because you volunteer a considerable amount of your time to social organizations? Or because you use your natural talents to help others? What makes you generous? All of these things? Some of these things? Generosity is a big word. It includes a huge range of attitudes. Moreover, somebody may be generous in one area and be very tight-fisted in another. For example, one may donate wealth easily, but be very stingy with compliments or in encouraging others. One may donate time, but be very jealous of other people's accomplishments. So let me return to the original question. Keeping all these connotations, and are you a generous person? I would like to approach today's scripture readings from the perspective of generosity, and more specifically, the generosity of God. So here are my 3 points for today, brief but important points for us. So in the first reading, we hear the generosity of God in the story of Eldad and Medad. There were two of the 70 elders who assisted Moses as they traveled, as the people of Egypt traveled from slavery into the promised land. Now, Eldad and Medad, along with the elders, were instructed to gather at the tent of meeting to receive the power of God's Spirit. And for some reason, Eldad and Medad stayed back while the others gathered at the camp. Despite this, when the Spirit of God came upon the elders, Eldad and Medad, who were not part of the gathering but in the camp, also received the Holy Spirit. And Joshua gets all worked up, and he comes to Moses about this, and he complains to Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying. Stop them," he says. And Moses says, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets." We have a similar story in the gospel reading when the disciples complained to Jesus that someone who was not among them was driving out demons in his name. Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. For whoever is not against us is for us." So together, these two stories tell us that God is far more generous than we human beings imagine God to be. God's generosity is immeasurable. Folks, not just these two stories. Creation is an act of God's generosity. The breath that we just took is an act of God's generosity. The cross is the greatest symbol of God's generous love. So, as a practical implication, this first point, let us consider two things. First, are we generous towards God? Yes, God is generous towards us. All we have, even our salvation, heaven is God's gift. God is generous. Are we generous towards God? How much time do we set aside for God? Is my worship a generous act or an obligation? And second, is my generosity toward God the source of my generous Christian lifestyle? Generosity is a lifestyle. It's not an act. It's a lifestyle. So is my generosity toward God the source of my generous lifestyle? Now, the second point, the two stories that we have today, the first in the gospel reading, are only instances of God's generosity. They're indicators of God's generosity. But God is generous beyond the stories that we hear. How often and how easy it is for us to think that God is generous only towards us, right? Especially that God is generous towards Christians, and especially God has this soft spot for Catholics, right? But what about the rest? What about the rest of the world? So even though the universality of God's generosity in today's readings is in reference to the people of Israel, the Gospels are emphatic that Christ came to redeem all creation. The way in which the universality of God's saving love got translated into the church's official teaching took time. It was not until Vatican II that the church put God's saving power beyond Catholicism in doctrinal statements. So the church says in its document on the Declaration of Relation of the Church to Non-Christian Religions, the church says, the Catholic Church rejects nothing that is true and holy in these religions. She regards with sincere reverence those ways of conduct and of life, those precepts and teachings which, though differing in many aspects from the ones she holds and sets forth, nonetheless often reflect a ray of that truth, capital T, which enlightens all people. So while the church uncompromisingly believes that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, she finds a way to balance God's generosity with an acceptance of God's universal saving power. And this is very important for us to understand. God's saving love is universal. And so the implication for us here is that our generosity mirrors the generosity of God. That's the implication. But in our understanding and relationship with people of other religions, cultures, and peoples, we need to be generous like God is generous. Especially, folks, these days, the whole conversation is set in the tone of us and them. And it's just causing immense amount of division and discord and disharmony in the name of the God who came to save creation. Especially for us as Catholics, we need to focus on the universality of God's saving love. It's hard, but remember, God is far more generous than we can ever even imagine ourselves to be. My third point I would like to focus on today's second reading from James. James' focus is on wealth and riches. And James, by the way, if you heard that reading, is harsh. He writes, "Come now, you rich, weep and wail over your impending miseries. Your wealth has rotted away. Your clothes have become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded. And that corrosion will be a testimony against you." The scripture scholars tell us that James was writing to two groups of people in society of his time. The merchants and the landowners. James held them accountable on two accounts. First, that they operate in society without any reference to God or God's will. God wants us to be generous. But when people are not, then you are operating in society, especially if you have power and authority and wealth, then you are doing it without reference to God's generosity. Second, that in a world of limited resources, the amassing of wealth was making less and less available to the rest of society. Especially in our times when a few people own bulk of the wealth in the world, James is absolutely relevant today. So I think the best way for us to interpret this passage is to think that James is asking the wealthy to imitate the generosity of God. Let's leave that aside for a moment, but let's look beyond wealth and riches. Let's get back to my original question. Are you a generous person? Forget about the rich. Let them do what they do. Us, what about us? Are you a generous person? And why? This week, let us examine not only our relationship with wealth, but also relationship with our time, our attitudes, our work, our leisure. All we can do is to make sure that our life reflects the generosity of God. Every Eucharist is a celebration of the generosity of God. Folks, I mean, see how small we are. What do we bring before God? A little bread and a little wine. And what does God do? Takes that gift and transforms into something far greater. It becomes the very means of our salvation, the body and blood of Christ. That's the generosity of God. So now that God is showing God's generosity in this symbol of bread and wine, now become the body and blood of Christ, may we go forth and show to the world this great generosity of God, this universal saving power of our God. People of God, say,